Jesus instituted the holy priesthood in this night, Holy Thursday, giving the priest the power to consecrate the Holy Eucharist, to give us Jesus Christ and his body and blood, to forgive sins and all the other sacraments, but also to act in the name of Jesus, to be another Christ, another persona Christi in the world. So it's another way where our Lord did not leave us abandoned, but he stays in our midst in the persons, in a special way, in the persons of the priesthood, in the persons of the priest. And so we look at the priest with the eyes of faith, that God will speak to us through that person. He who hears you hears me, he said to his disciples. So in a special way, a priest can give us the words of Jesus, especially if he's trying to help, he's seeking to help, give spiritual help to someone. We listen with eyes of faith and ears of faith. And we do that especially, of course, when he's giving the sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist, the sacrament of penance, where we listen to the counsel of the priest and we look beyond the humanity of the priest and see God there. But it also in spiritual direction and in other times in regard to matters of our faith, we listen to the priest, and he's a minister of Jesus Christ. He represents Jesus, and it's a strength and a consolation to us that our Lord has given to us these ministers who represent him. And you know, with the eyes of faith, it does console us that Jesus walks in our midst in that way. It's a powerful thing that Jesus would be in us in that way, as well as in the Eucharist and in the scriptures and the poor and those who suffer, but in a special way in the priesthood. And so we show a special reverence there, the hands of a priest and the person of the priest. And despite the sins of priests, and despite scandals sometimes throughout the church, you know, we look at Judas as the first scandalizer, you could say, an example and a type of the priest who will not always be faithful. Not every priest is going to be faithful, unfortunately, through the end of the world. And Judas is an example of that. And so we shouldn't be surprised. We should be sad, sorrowful, but not surprised, because it happened even in the company of Jesus Christ. And so, but we pray for all priests that they stay faithful, because we know how strong and how much they influence others by their example and by their words. But even as St. Francis did, you know, we follow his example when he came up to a priest who was living a scandalous life, had a mistress, maybe had some children too. And the people were wondering what he was going to do when he met this priest. And St. Francis went up to him, knelt at his feet, kissed his hands, and asked him to hear his confession or give him a blessing. I think it was hear his confession. And after that, the priest changed his life. And St. Francis showed us that powerful example of how to respect priests, no matter what kind of life he lives. But of course, priests are to show us a stellar example, a shining example of the life of Jesus Christ, how we should pattern our life after priests. And so, of course, we priests have to have that before our eyes, and we think of the influence we give, but also the grace that is given to us and the high calling, and how, you know, especially that it's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of sacrifice. It's not a life of privilege. It's not a life of respect or a life of favor, a life of, you know, none of these things. All that is false and foreign to what a priest is really supposed to be. What did Jesus do? Did he ask for privileges? Did he go around collecting money? Did he go around seeking a sensation and seeking a notoriety? No, he walked around. He went around in poverty. He went around and accepted abuse. He accepted all kinds of contradiction to his death. That's what he did, and that's the example of for every priest, a life of sacrifice. And that's what young men need to know. It's a life of sacrifice, and that's a challenge. And that's something that we all you know, we need a challenge, just like the youth of the world. They're always looking for a challenge, a challenge in a good way, how to be good and how to be holy, how to buck the customs of the world that are not good. And, you know, we look in the world and see, you know, in the United States and all the scandals in Ireland and other places, all the scandals, you would think that that would discourage men, young men, from becoming a priest, but it's not. People are still coming back. Even Boston right now, it's full to the brim. They can't fit any more priest candidates right now. I saw a picture in the back of one of these churches with all the pictures of all the seminarians. And Boston was one of the worst of the scandal-hit dioceses. So we see the importance of the priesthood, and you know, we pray for the priests, and we see, you know, they represent Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ expects that from all of us. So we see the dignity that is there, and we see Jesus himself, not the humanity, not the person, not the man, but the priest, the representative of Jesus Christ. That's faith, and that is love for Jesus Christ. We do it for the love of Jesus Christ, to show that respect and reverence for him in the person of the priest. And so we are celebrating that. We celebrate the priesthood despite everything else, despite what the world is doing, despite, you know, the world is trying to pull down priests, or destroy priests. We hold them up in that high dignity that Jesus Christ is, because they see Jesus in that person, in that priest. So we celebrate it out of love for God. We celebrate it to the world, and we will proclaim it. We will die for it, even die for that great mystery of how Jesus acts through the priest. And it's one of the holiest gifts that are given to the church, the priesthood, because of the power that Jesus has given to us in that person for the good of the faithful. For the good of the faithful, not for his own squandering, but for the good of the faithful, to give Jesus and his forgiveness, to give Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, to give him in ministering the sacraments, to give the gospel to the world, to proclaim the gospel which brings joy and happiness and wisdom and enlightenment to the world, the gospel. And the priest does that especially. He's the bearer of good news, good tidings to the world in his preaching. And so we recognize that, and we proclaim it, and we celebrate it, and we thank God for it. And today, too, we celebrate that that commandment of Jesus Christ to love our neighbor, that great commandment. It's so great that it's the flip side of the coin of love for God and love for neighbor. You cannot have love for God if you don't love your neighbor. And it's an easy thing, in a certain sense, to love God, because you can create your own God in your own mind and how you want to live, how you want to act. You know, my God tells me that I can do this or that, you know, and I got my own image of who God is, you know, and, you know, God doesn't strike us, and so we can obey in our own way, perhaps. But when we have to love God in our neighbor, that's proof. That's proof of our love for God as well as our obedience to his commandments. We must obey. We must love neighbor as well as love God. They go together. As Jesus said, the second commandment is like the first. Those two commandments, so powerful, so important, you know, and it's so important, and it's need to be stressed, because not everybody perhaps believes it or realizes the importance of it, you know, because of the humanity of every human being. We're so full of faults and defects and sins and selfishness and harm that we do to each other sometimes. All of that, how can we love? I don't really want to sometimes. I find it too difficult, and so I'm just going to cover it over. I'm going to put a curtain over it. I'm going to just focus on loving God and his commandments, and then that's good enough. That's not what our Lord says. He gave us that commandment, a command. We must love our neighbor as Christ has loved us. How did Christ love us? to the point of death, to the point of sacrificing his life for our neighbor. Sacrifice, this is what we need to do. Sacrifice ourselves for our neighbor, which means sacrifice giving vent to our anger, our annoyances, our dislike, our vengeance, you know, not giving vent to these things, forgiving, seeing the good in everyone, giving good, bestowing good upon our neighbor. Every time we see another human being, we see a vessel of Jesus Christ, we see, this is somebody I have to practice charity to, every single person, no matter who they are, and especially those who are difficult, who have hurt me, who are my enemy in some way. That person, especially, as our Lord said, if you love your neighbor who loves you, what good is that? Even the pagans do that. So we identify every single person we look to, I must practice charity to them in my thoughts, in my words, and my deeds, and my actions. I must give good to my neighbor in whatever way it is. Charity is many faceted. You know, it's forgiveness, it's thoughtfulness, it's compassion, it's help, it's reaching out in different ways, it's correcting, it's speaking kindly, it's being good, it's doing things for other people, it's helping them. It's all these things, everything, every aspect of charity we have to do. And we need to become experts in charity. And it takes an expertise. It takes practice. And every one of us has to be an expert in charity. Or else we learn it in purgatory, maybe, or we learn it, you know, the hard way. We must be experts in charity and love, giving that love to our neighbor. But it's a command of Jesus Christ. We're imaging Jesus Christ. How did he act with his apostles? How did he act with all of us? And when he sees all of us committing these sins and failings, he puts up with all of us. As he put up with the apostles here when he was here on earth, as he puts up with us now when we confess the same sins over and over, he shows us that mercy, and we need to show it to our neighbor. We must show it to our neighbor. That is a command, and our Lord expects it from all of us. He's looking for proof of our love for him by showing our love for him in our neighbor, as well as in our prayers, in our observance of his commandments, of our sacrifice to our Lord in so many ways. The flip side of the coin, we have to go together. We cannot hide it. We cannot hide the difficult thing, which is to practice charity to our neighbor. So we celebrate charity, and charity is a beautiful thing, a very, very beautiful thing, and it gives great joy to the heart if we practice it. We have it in our heart. It's a treasure. God plants it there if you deserve it. If you work for it, you pray for it, you live for it, he will plant it there and you will thank God. It's a flower, a bouquet in your bosom, and it gives you strength and gives you joy and gives you peace, gives you harmony in your whole life. All of this is a gift God holds out to us, but we must grab hold of it and practice it and live it and think of it and become masters of it, as Jesus Christ did, and we're just following the example of our Lord and our Lady, who practiced this virtue to perfection, to the cross, to sacrifice. We need to sacrifice ourselves for our neighbor at our expense, good to our neighbor at our own expense, and then God will reward us in so many different ways. And especially today, we celebrate the institution of the Holy Eucharist, where God gives himself to us in the Eucharist. He doesn't abandon us. He gives himself. And we think, you know, it's just a gift to us. It's something that I get, something that Jesus put on this earth to feed me and to help me and to answer my prayers and to give me, give me, give me, give me, you know. But it's also a need of God himself. God wants to be in our midst. He finds his delight in the company of men. He puts himself on the altar and in the holy bread. He puts himself there because he loves to be with us. He wants to give himself to us. It's something that he finds joy in, giving himself. You know, it's not just something that we benefit from, but God does, because he finds joy to unite himself to us, to be with us. And, you know, we need to think of that. And it's a consolation to us that God wants to be with us as much as we want to be with him. We want to receive him. He wants us to be received by him. So he's handing himself to us because he's longing for our love, longing for our attention, longing for us to long for him, to come to him, to come to Holy Mass as often as we can, to come to the Eucharist, come to adoration. He is longing for us as if he needs us, as that's the way he acts. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And all we have to do is correspond, respond to that. This is the great gift that God gives us to us in the Holy Eucharist. We celebrate that today. And we have to realize that the Eucharist is our ticket to love for God, our ticket to a strong relationship, intimacy, union. This is what it is. You know, there's that beauty of love for God that is in the Eucharist. I can get it. I can have it. I can have it close to me, intimate in that relationship with God, with Jesus as a person. You know, it's not a thing that we come up and we see this thing and we take it back, like popping a pill or, something that's just going to automatically feed me. But it's a relationship, it's a person. We're receiving a person, a divine person, for the sake of developing a relationship with God, a union, a love, an intimacy with God. And this is the most important thing, that our faith is a union, an intimacy with God. This is our faith. It's not a bunch of rules. It's a relationship with God, and we have this in the Eucharist, to nourish our relationship, to nourish our love for God, and then to put it into practice in the world as we go forth from Holy Mass. And this is our love for God is right there in the Eucharist, and this is what we are fostering, what we're longing for, what we're coming to get, to foster that love in our heart, to have it and to give it to Jesus and to give it to our neighbor, to have it in our heart and to bring it into the world. So let us reflect on these beautiful teachings in this Holy Thursday and thank God for these three beautiful teachings that he gives us on this wonderful day.